festivity of 50 years of Father Brosnan priesthood. And this is a great festivity because it is a festivity of fidelity, of fidelity of a priest, of fidelity of a priest in a great crisis. It's a festivity, first and end, of fidelity, faithfulness, which in Latin, this is clear from the Latin, clear also in the English, is a word turning originally on faith. Faith, faithful, faithfulness, in Latin, fides, fidelis, fidelitas. And in this sense, no one is more faithful than one whose fidelity turns exactly on the faith. In other words, a priest. Fidelity is quality which we might say is rather lacking today for a variety of reasons. It's not only priests that have to be faithful. Married people also ought to be faithful. But today, many priests are not faithful. Many married people are not faithful. It is a great and obvious disaster. Within the church, it's a disaster when the priests are not faithful. The church falls to pieces. Within marriage, it's a disaster when husband and wife are not faithful, because the children, more or less, less or more, fall to pieces. And the husband and wife also fall to pieces. A variety of reasons why that's so today, but when one thinks about it, surely the central reason is the lack of fidelity within the church, within the Catholic Church. If the Catholic priests were faithful, it would be much easier for the Protestant ministers to be faithful. That's their business, so to speak. That's not directly ours, but it would be more easy for them. It would definitely be more easy for Catholic spouses and Catholic marriages to stay faithful. But if they aren't given a good example by their priests, the spouses are going to be wide open to all of those pressures and temptations which tear many marriages today apart. That's the reason why it's a special rejoicing for every one of us when a Catholic priest is faithful. And that's why today is a day of festivity. The modern world believes in liberty. It believes in being free, in being able to quit, in being able to change, in being able to uproot every 5 or 10 or 15 years, change house, change city, change country, change wife, change husband, change children. Change, 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 liberty, 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 because the grass is always greener in the next field, and so off we go, leave this one and on to the next. It is a whole unstable, shifting, shallow, and ruthless way of life. It's a way of life which has its advantages, but those advantages to a wise mind are worth little compared with the advantages of steadiness and rootedness. It is a fortunate man who has been able, for one reason or another, to live in one city all his life. It may not seem so, but so it is. It is, of course, much more important and valuable to stay with one spouse all one's life. The alternative easily drops into mortal sin, that's clear. But that's not the way people today think. People today think change is always for the better. Let's uproot and something new. Change, novelty, variety, and so people uproot. And they lose. They don't realize it, but they do. They lose all that's to be gained by rootedness, by plunging roots deeper and deeper into whatever it may be. There is, in the case of marriage, maybe after 10 or 15 or 20 years, the new spouse is a lot more good looking or a lot more beautiful. She or he has got a lot of advantages, and so let's change. But he or she, the new spouse, is never going to be able to be the one with which you went through and lived through and endured through and suffered together through those first 10 or 20 years. You change spouse, you start again at ground zero. You will change spouse a second time. Let's say you're still only 50. Let's say you still have plenty of the sap of life left in you. Let's say. You change spouse again, you start again at ground zero. You have all the advantages of another honeymoon, another sweet, hunky-dory period, which lasts. Probably it's getting shorter each time, which lasts, let's say, a few weeks this time. It lasted a few months to begin with, but now it's a few weeks down to a few weeks. And then you're back into the old problems, and what's going to be the answer? A fourth change, maybe. Heaven knows. If the law of diminishing returns begins to apply after a while. Poor people, and there are so many of them today seeking happiness in that direction, thinking that domestic bliss is circumscribed by the parameters of the honeymoon, and that a happy marriage consists in honeymooning all the way from cradle through to grave, or at any rate from the altar through to the grave. What a mistake. As though happiness consisted in liberty, in being able to change, in being able to shut the whole past off, in being able to be unfaithful to one's commitments of the past. The old-fashioned idea is that happiness, on the contrary, lies in fidelity. It doesn't lie in liberty. Happiness lies in fidelity. The old-fashioned idea is that liberty is a great wrecker. That happiness lies, if you like, in putting down roots and drawing steadily deeper nourishment from the same roots. You can't grow a tree from one day to the next. You may transplant a tree from one day to the next, but you're not, the tree in its new location still takes time to put down roots, the roots it has. And there's a time after which, as you well know, it can only be transplanted while it's still young. There are limits in nature to what can be done with liberty. Nature herself puts limits to liberty. If you wish something to grow, if you wish something of any value, of any stature, of any importance to grow, there are limits to liberty. And there is an absolute value to fidelity, to staying in the same spot staying in the same marriage, to staying in the same vocation, to staying in the same profession. I don't know what it is. If you want to build an airliner, you have to obey the laws of aerodynamics. You try suddenly one day to turn the wings upside down, the plane is simply not going to fly. You arrive at the airport, let's say one day, and the airline manager greets you and he says, "Hi, this is the Liberty Airline." Or you think, "Great, Liberty, wonderful. In this airline, our airplanes have liberty." "Oh, wonderful. They have such liberty that they change the design every 3 weeks." "Oh. We change the design every 3 weeks, so it's always wonderful novelty. It's new, it's fresh, it's free." "Oh." There's a little question mark arising in my mind. "Are you sure it's going to fly? Who's worried about whether it flies? We got liberty. We got change. We got novelty. We've started something new. The design of your plane is new. It's completely different from the design of any airplane before. Thanks very much, I'll try another airline." When it comes to airlines, people have got still a little common sense, because they know if they get up in an airplane without common sense, they're going to smash on the floor. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to a vocation, when it comes to a life, that common sense which people have when it comes to airplanes, they no longer have. "I've got a brand new spouse for you." "Terrific, let's go." "She's absolutely new. He's absolutely wonderful. He's quite different." "Wonderful, let's go." And so we trade in the last partner and move on to the next. "Are you sure she can fly?" "Doesn't matter whether she can fly or not, just so long as she's new." Does it make any sense? And yet, do you agree that's how so many people today think? It doesn't fly. It is not flying. The whole world, the whole way of life, the whole society that they are building today with these change every 3 weeks marriages doesn't fly. The parentless and homeless children that are growing up, that have grown up under this system, are already shaking the pillars of our society, and within a short space of time, there's every likelihood this society is going to come tumbling down. Because of a lack of fidelity. Because people no longer know how to stick to their guns, how to stick to a difficult marriage, how to stick to maybe a difficult vocation. If you want to build a supersonic airliner, your parameters are undoubtedly even stricter, even tighter, even more constricting than if you want to build an ordinary airline. If you want freedom to fly very fast indeed, you have got to obey more and more strict laws. If you wish to be free in life, to achieve some worthwhile goals, some real goals, some really worthwhile goals, there are more and more strict laws that you're going to have to obey. The Catholic religion is obviously strict compared with all the other religions available. But if you wish to achieve something worthwhile in life, it's not liberty that you're looking for. It is a goal and a worthwhile goal and fidelity to a worthwhile goal. A worthwhile goal like a home and family, accessible to everybody. But a home and family which can only be built up to 10, 20, 30, 40 years with 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years worth of fidelity. And the further you want to go in that marriage, the more constricting in a sense it is. The further you wish to go, the further you have to go with fidelity, which cuts off so many other alternatives which are presented to you all around and offered to you in maybe as attractive a form as the modern world can make it, which of course is, we know. Now, of course, you see why fidelity is so important. And if fidelity in marriage is so important, and it takes work, do they tell the youngsters that today? Do the youngsters today know that? Are they told that they are going to have to work at a marriage? That it is going to cost them blood, sweat, toil, and tears, as Churchill said? He was speaking of something else, but it certainly applies to marriage. Or a priesthood. Are the youngsters told in the seminary that in order to be priests and to be faithful priests, it is going to cost them blood, sweat, toil, and tears? If they aren't told it, they certainly should be told it. But what they should also be told, of course, is that those blood, sweat, toil, and tears are the only way to achieve something lasting and of real value in their life. Liberty is false. Is a false goddess. But the real way, just imagine a tree that will wish to be at liberty, to uproot itself every 3 months. Imagine what would happen to that tree. Do you think people are all that different? The uprooting way of life is not the way to happiness, but fidelity. Fidelity in lay life, and how much more fidelity in the priesthood. We have amongst us today, and this is the reason we are celebrating, 50 years of fidelity of a Catholic priest. I was mentioning a few moments ago, maybe the major reason why marriages today have such difficulty is that the priests do not hold steady. And therefore, for all of us here today, for every single one of us here today, priests, bishops, laity, it is an occasion of rejoicing that a priest has held steady and faithful for 50 years. And Father Ross could tell you, I'm sure, maybe he will mention and say a few words later today. He will tell you, as could people that have been married for 40 or 50 years, he could tell us of the special joys, the special happiness that comes from having stayed faithful and from having held steady over 50 years. Married people will tell you, the marriage is not the same after 10 years as it is after 20, or after 30 as after 20. And there's something special and something more with each 10 years that a couple can stay together. How much more for the priesthood, when a man is married to the church or married to his God? Where his God, or the beloved mother of God, not that he's, we're married to the mother of God, but the mother of God is the woman in our lives. And to have been faithful to the mother of God, one's devotion to the Mother of God as a priest. Maybe Father can say a few words about that. In any case, the fidelity of the priest is of enormous importance. That is why the devil has been so attacking priests over the last 20 or 30 years. And the devil has succeeded in detaching a number of them from their priesthood. And with each priest that the devil can pull away from his priesthood, he can be sure of pulling many more away from whatever vows or engagements or commitments they have in their lives. And pulling away the people from their commitments is like uprooting the tree. Lucky if the tree can replant itself, but very probably it can't. More or less, it won't be able. How many unhappy priests that get married, for instance, that quit the priesthood and try to get married, and then treat their wives like the congregation? A congregation you can talk to and it won't answer back. Priests who marry make the unfortunate experience that the congregation begins to talk back. And the priests can't handle it quite often. And after they quit their priesthood, they quit their spouse, quote unquote spouse. How many priests lead a more or less unhappy life when they quit their priesthood? What a great gift of God. And I'm sure this is the predominant thought in Father Morosi's mind today. What a great and wonderful gift of God. What a grace of God to have been given to stay faithful to one's priesthood. The priesthood is already an immense gift of God to any young man. But how much more? It's a different grace, and in some ways maybe an even greater grace, to stay faithful to that priesthood. And therefore what we are also celebrating today and rejoicing in today is the gift of God to Father Morosi. What God, the gift of fidelity and of perseverance that God has given to Father Morosi over 50 years. And I'm sure I can take this moment to say on behalf of all of us, our thanks to Almighty God. We read in the program the very eventful life of Father over these 50 years, which began with his ordination in Poland, the time of St. Maximilian Kolbe, with travels which took him, including missionary travels, all the way for several years, many years, to Japan. From Japan, across this side of the, I was going to say Atlantic, but I should say this side of the Pacific, Canada and the United States. And now in these last several years, how many of you here in Buffalo know about the value of fidelity of a priest? How many of you here in Buffalo know how much you owe to a priest who has stayed steady, who has been rooted in his hometown, who has stayed and made sure that he has provided the Mass in his hometown? Wherever else, he has also provided it. The Father has the joy today of seeing many of his friends from as far away as Minnesota here today. Friends also from the opposite end of Pennsylvania. Wise friends who come to share. That is an observant man. Wise friends who come to share in the celebration. The priests come and go. The Society of St. Pius X has, here in Buffalo, in previous years, come and gone. Other priests have come and gone. The one who stayed steady is Father Morosi. So on behalf of all of you, I'm sure I can offer our thanks, your thanks, to Father Morosi for his fidelity as a priest over the last several years in Buffalo. Because thirdly, it is the fidelity of a priest in an extraordinary crisis of the church. A crisis which, 30 years ago, when Father had been a priest for some 20 years, crisis which shook many priests and shook them out of their priesthood in the 1960s and 1970s. And again, I was saying, which some of you will know, there is a joy and a happiness of having been married for 40 years, which there can't be for having married only 20 years. And there is a fidelity to the priesthood today of priests who were ordained before the Second Vatican Council and before this terrible crisis, a fidelity which cannot ever be achieved by all of us younger priests who were only ordained after the Second Vatican Council. And you can imagine for all of us, all of the younger priests of the Society of Pius X, who were trained and ordained after the council, you can imagine what a joy and what a source of edification it is to us to find, to meet these older priests who came right through the whole crisis. We never had to go through it like they did. We may have gone through it as men or as young men or as middle-aged men, however, but if we weren't priests, if we only came to the priesthood afterwards, there is an achievement on the part of those older priests which it is impossible for us to achieve. Unless they invent another immense crisis of the church equal to this one, it's not likely in our own generation until the Antichrist arrives at any rate. Unless they were to invent another crisis, nothing we could do could be the same as what these older priests have done, who trained and ordained before this crisis, stayed faithful, and persevered in the priesthood from before, through, and after this crisis. That is a special achievement. It's something which today, it's wise for all of us to think of, in order once again to give thanks and special thanks to God, and without wishing to burden or to offend Father Morosi's deep humility, something for which we also, each in our own time and place, should give thanks to him. So we are thankful also, we celebrate also and especially the faithfulness of a priest who has held steady to his commitment of many years ago, to his solemn priestly vows, who has held steady through these difficult years. How many more years will the Lord God ask of Father Morosi? God knows. But however long or however brief it may be, he has already given us, to all of us, a magnificent example. This is the way to real happiness. It's the way to real fulfillment, and it is the way to real achievement, although the modern world might not think so. But the modern world has it entirely wrong. And Father Morosi is one of those living examples which we so much need of how the modern world is wrong. So, all of us, dear Father, we firstly thank God. We also thank you. And we very profoundly, all of us, congratulate you on what God has given to you and on how you have cooperated with the grace that God has given you. We will ask you to pray for all of us, as surely you do, with the power of the prayers, such a power as only the prayers of a long faithful, long persevering priest can have. And we will continue. We who are younger in the priesthood, we of the society, we will continue to look up to you. We will continue to think that it is a privilege to stand at your side and to support you. It is a great joy for the society to be able today to be here, several of us priests, two of our deacons and a seminarian as well, to provide a solemn ceremony for this solemn and beautiful occasion. And you will most certainly continue, Father, if we are faithful, you will continue to have our support and our affection and our prayers. And we will pray for you especially to the beloved Mother of God, to whom, of course, yourself, you have such a devotion. Our Lady of the Rosary, to whom this church has been dedicated, I don't know if it was by your choice, it wouldn't at all surprise me if it was by your choice that this church was dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary. She who has been the mother of your priesthood, as she is the mother of all of us priests. She who has, through whom have come to you so many graces over 50 years. We will pray to her that she continue to watch over you, Father, and to see you, above all, safely home. What more can we wish to? What more can we pray for? O good priest, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.